Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
No other radio team in Boston has logged in this many locker room hours. Boomer Loney.
I ain't here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
Christian Fourier.
Spank me.
Glenn Ordway.
I don't know whether he wants it on the right ass cheek or the left, but he wants it someplace.
So mask up.
I'm not here to play games.
Put your blindfold on.
Woo!
And your earplugs in.
Oh, hogs. Hogs are available.
It's time for
the sausage smell.
Glenn. Stop.
OMF on WEEI.
Excuse me, Mr. Kraft. I have to take a pee.
Bring it back.
We got a lot of firsts in the year 2020. Things that we have never, ever seen before. And I think we got one today, fellas. I think we got one today. I can never remember outside of a holiday.
Are pigs flying?
Pigs are flying today.
No.
I don't remember ever having an NFL game on. While we're on the air Monday through Friday, other than a holiday now, having one of these games on. We got an NFL game coming up at 3:40 today.
Yeah, you want to know what my pregame show is right now?
What
this is
it?
Pretty cool. It's Rachel Ray. She's teaching me how to make, I don't know what that is, some what sort is of it? Biscuit with something. But Rachel Ray.
That's, where we close down the pregame, it's like a tailgate experience for you?
Yeah, it's good, but she doesn't know she's doing it, though.
Were we close to having, like, was it the Patriots at 5 o'clock? Wasn't there a game that was supposed to happen? That
yeah, and they moved it later on. Right.
So we got a little 3:45 piece.
It was one of those, if a team could play, then they would be playing at 5 o'clock, but that team couldn't play, so they played at 8 o'clock. So we got a game here today. And I'm not sure why we do, and I'll tell you why, because 2.5 hours before the kickoff, that was just a little while ago, the Pittsburgh Steelers announced that their center, their captain, Marquise Pouncey, a hell of a player, is now added to the COVID reserve list and will not be able to play today.
Good. I mean, honestly, how are they playing this game?
I don't know.
Like, every scenario you sat there and said, well, you know, hey, listen, you got some positives on Monday or Tuesday, you pull the player, no big deal, everyone's clean the rest of the week, you play football, unfortunately, it might be a quarterback, it might be a wide receiver, an impact player, but hey, that's why you got to play it. You got to play the game. That's something you got to deal with. But what can't happen is outbreaks. What can happen is, like, you know, 3, 4, 5 days, let alone 9 days in a row as at the Baltimore Ravens, and still expect to play a football game. Like, how are they playing this football game?
You know what? By sheer will and determination, that's what it is. I'm amazed at their commitment and their dedication to making sure that this game gets played. Now, it could be, there could be a bunch of different reasons for it. One, they feel like they don't have enough time to fit it in. Two, they do not want to add an extra week to the season. To me, that's the most important thing. So you can listen to Roger Goodell. You can look at him, listen to him and all his excuses. The reality is they do not want to add week 18.
No.
They want 16 weeks of games with 16 games, 1 week buffer. So it's a 17-week season. And then we're gonna start playing playoffs. They do not want to mess with it. That's the only reason. Otherwise, this game, out of all the games, should have been canceled.
So you're not buying Roger Goodell's statement today that player health and safety is taking a priority in the game scheduling.
Oh, it is?
Not business interest. It's not about the money.
He also believes that the NFL does the right thing at the end of the day.
Yeah,
they're doing the right thing. There's no question about it. He actually talked about the Ravens and why this game was postponed in the first place. He says, quote, to make sure the virus was contained, and medical experts have now convinced that it has been. They had somebody yesterday.
Pouncey getting tested today
in Pittsburgh.
It's contained?
Yes.
It's 10 days straight. They got on a plane. While they were on the plane, they found out while on the plane that one of their players who's been practicing within the last 2 days was positive. While they were on the plane, they found this out. How is it contained, Roger? He says they can safely and responsibly complete the season. Like, really? Health and medical decisions have always taken precedent over the competitive consideration of business interest? Really, Roger?
I think he's lying, or maybe he's just joking with us. Maybe that's it. I will say this. This today, we keep on talking about the science, and it all depends on what science you're talking about. But is this not a huge scientific experiment today? Because I think we truly believe that nobody has contracted it outdoors on the field from another participant.
They're in competition. Nope.
Right.
Nowhere in the world.
It hasn't happened.
Do we have confirmation on that?
No, but science.
Dr. Sill said it. Same. NFL. I mean, they've looked at it. Rugby, Australian rules football. But here's the problem with your scientific, you know, we'll see what happens here. Both teams have it.
Yes.
So it's not like, you know, a couple of Pittsburgh players get it and they turn around and say, well, the Ravens obviously gave it to them and blame everything because Pouncey is now positive.
Right.
So you've got members of the Steelers, you got members of the Ravens, positive, the last week or so, whatever it is, and they're going to go out there and play.
See, I think that's the difference. Both teams have it, Lou. And
so both teams have it.
Right.
Go ahead.
Both teams are going to spend.
That's a super spreader event.
Both teams are going to spend at least more than 15 minutes of quality, close time in the locker room. And so you're right. This it could be a super spreader here today. And if it is, what happens to the rest of the NFL season? Dunsky.
Well, hold on. Can we just add this? Because, okay, there's two different forms of safety if I'm looking at it from a player's point of view. There's the safety of, okay, we got to play on a Wednesday, and then how much time do we have to rest and recover?
Okay, so they're both playing Monday night or Tuesday.
That's fine.
Wednesday.
So it's like a Sunday, Thursday. That's fine. We're used to that. We're accustomed to that. The other one I would say they've actually been proven right on is the safety of the player's health concerning COVID. Because any team that had an outbreak, just use the Tennessee Titans, use the Raiders, use the Patriots. Once they contained it, no issues. So no issues. So whatever protocol that they're doing, whatever rules and regulations that they have brought up, it works.
Because has it worked in Baltimore?
I feel like for the most part, Lou, like their reasonings for doing things, their safety regulations work. Tennessee didn't have any more outbreaks. Once they caught up to that one issue they had for those 1-2 weeks early in September, they were good.
By that point.
No, they were not. But even the Patriots, they're fine. The Raiders, they're fine. I feel like there's another team that I'm forgetting about.
Yeah, but I think Lou brought the point up.
But how am I wrong on this, guys?
Because both teams today have cases, and they've had cases in the last 24 or 48 hours, and you're putting them all in a locker room together. Okay, so Pittsburgh's going to be in the locker room. Baltimore's going to be in the locker room. Their own team could be infectious throughout. This was Jameson Hensley, the ESPN reporter who covers the Ravens. According to a source, the Ravens believe that Lamar Jackson was infected Sunday at M&T Bank Stadium, where Ravens lost to the Tennessee Titans 30-24 in overtime, tested positive only on Thursday. Jackson took snaps from center Patrick McCary, who tested positive on Wednesday. Jackson's game day locker is close to those of the running backs, J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram, both of whom tested positive Sunday night. That's where they're going to get it, not out on the field, in that locker room.
So how can you say that the Ravens have contained it if on Thursday that was it? You know, if on Thursday they found out that they had four players, I think Lamar might have been the fourth player, or whatever it was, in that range, five players, whatever. If that would have been it, you would have said, okay, maybe it's contained. They're clear Friday, they're clear Saturday, they're clear whatever. But obviously that's not the case. I mean, it was 9 straight days, I think maybe 10 straight days.
It was 10.
10 straight days of new positive tests. That is not, it's not contained. And, you know, listen, I'm all for, like, you know, if it happened for the first 2 or 3 days, we've talked about this before, pull the players off the field, go play the game. But when you start talking about 10 consecutive days, I mean, I think now it's getting kind of jokey. Like,
right now,
I really want an explanation from the NFL and saying, okay, I need to know exactly why you don't want it week 18. I understand, I think, some of the logistics, but financially, how are you going to get screwed? Because it's all about the money. Follow the money. How do you get screwed if you have week 18?
Hi, Roger. Sophie Schneider.
It's player health and safety. It's taking a priority.
It's financial. There's something wrong with the week 18 for this league.
Do you guys think that the NFL has done a good job managing COVID and playing games? Yes or no?
Up to this point, yes.
Yeah,
but today's
I would say
a failure.
Yes.
Okay, hold
I would
on.
Say yes.
That was that. That's,
today's
that's
a failure.
There's no second
it may be
part
hard
to this.
To beat.
No, today's a failure. Then, and I would say no, then, because today's a failure.
Yeah, today is
how
a
How is it a failure?
Day.
You don't know what the outcome's going to be. You
they
have no idea what the outcome's going to be.
They've got 10 consecutive days.
So
they
what?
They had a guy 2.5 hours before the game test positive for COVID on the other team where the outbreak hasn't happened. I mean, it's been 10 straight freaking days.
Yeah, I would say based on how militant and how many different layers and how they monitor and watch these guys, I feel I would give them the benefit of the doubt. I guess that's my point. I give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, I asked you if you think they've done a good job. You both said no, but up until today, it's different. You don't know how they could play this game, and then by Friday, they'd be clean. They would have it contained, no new cases, no new issues. And then what would you say? So on Friday, no new issues on Friday. Are you going to say, oh, my bad, I was wrong on Wednesday?
Yeah, I don't think there's any consistency to what the NFL is doing. I
mean, I'll say that.
What do you mean? How can you have consistency?
I will say that. Now, will you say if tomorrow and Friday and Saturday each team has more positive tests, will you say they've screwed this thing up?
Then I say this one they got wrong.
We'll Friday.
Hold on. Yeah. What? I don't have to be stubborn. I'm not married to this.
Well, 10 days. I'm pretty sure it's going to keep happening.
My point is, like, should they play the game? Yes or no? Should they be playing the game?
No, they should have postponed
it. No, not today.
They
not, up not
the,
with all these.
They screwed up everything. Yeah. They screwed up the weekend. They screwed up last weekend. They screwed up these players and buys. They've screwed up everything rather than just like Monday when they realized we can push it to Wednesday. They should have said no. No, so especially Tuesday when they got more positive tests.
What is the line for this
week
game?
Week 18.
You know? Does anybody know what
the
line
is? I think
it's 10. 10? Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
let's see what Rachel
think,
Ray is doing. Let's see.
Does anybody think Baltimore has any chance of
winning
this game?
They got no shot. No, they got their running backs back, right? Yeah. But it's still RG3, no Andrews.
So the only
players everywhere.
The only possible winner other than the Steelers in this game today could be RG3. If he can keep the game within 10, this is a great audition for him, right?
Well, Patriots can be a winner in this.
Yes.
6-5 Ravens.
Yes.
He could be the Patriots' next bridge quarterback.
Who, RG3?
RG3. Might as well bring all the Heisman Trophy winners back to the Patriots.
Please.
Bring them all back.
Guess what? Kyrie Irving is coming back to the TD Garden. He's coming back to the TD Garden. It'll give us all an opportunity to go to the game and to boo him. It's all happening. We'll get to it coming up next. Your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Christian's favorite game, big deal or no big deal. We'll play that at 3:30 today. And our guy, Teddy Bruschi, coming up at 4:30 right here on OMF.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Find us on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
10 seconds left in the game. Who's shooting?
Depends on who's hot. One thing I've always been comfortable with is I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for.
We're getting to Kyrie Irving.
On my top 5 books, okay. Well, I have books around me right now. Some of these books you can't even get unless you pay like $500 for it.
Some of these books are hidden in libraries for a reason. That's another story. We'll get to that on another sitting with Kai.
If you take Kyrie Irving's brain and put it in a bird right now, guess what that bird is going to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to fly backwards.
When I was out for those 7 weeks and not saying anything and still people are still saying things about me, it's inevitable. You know, they crucified Martin Luther King.
I want Kyrie to be more selfish.
I don't really see us having a head coach. KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach.
Jacque Vaughn could do it one day. It could be. It's a collaborative effort, I think, on our part.
Sometimes I feel like I have to hide my gifts to dumb it down to be a basketball player.
Oh, Kyrie Irving is coming back to town at Christmas Day. He will be at the TD Garden. It'll be a perfect day to put up that highlight reel. You know, they like to do that. Celtics do that. Kelly Olynyk got one, so I'm sure Kyrie Irving will get one and put it up on the Jumbotron. There's only one issue, one problem. It won't be anybody sitting in the stands.
Yeah. Oh, man. First of all, excellent job, Tyler.
Yes.
Excellent job. That just brought me back. Just how dopey this guy is.
He's dopey.
I actually, you know what, if I am, you're right, so Kelly Olynyk gets his little, everybody gets a tribute.
Everybody gets a tribute.
There was a time, I feel like they should release a statement, the Celtics should release a statement, effective immediately. No one is ever going to get a tribute video ever until after December 25th.
Brad Wanamaker will get one. What are we talking about?
Who gets a video first, Kyrie or Gronk?
Oh,
Gronk.
Kyrie.
Gronk. Gronk. Bill's going to give him a video? Retired.
Kyrie Gronk. Will never get a video. Do you think there's anyone out there that still defends this guy? Anyone?
Well, he's still a hell of a...
Last year, we did. You know, I know I did at times.
Yeah. For a small part.
But I'm just saying, like, do you think anybody defends him? Like, oh, you guys pick on him too much? Like, we get it from everybody, right? We rip a guy, somebody's like, defends him. Anybody defend Kyrie? Does anybody sit there and say, you're too hard on him? Or he's a good guy, he's just misunderstood? Like, I think... We just say he's a very talented basketball player, right? Because he is.
He's
a very talented,
talented
basketball
yeah,
player.
Yeah, he's top 10 player in that league. When he's
but
when
anybody
he's
defend him? Yeah. Like, anybody defend him, who he is?
No,
as
they
a
don't
person?
Like his. They don't like him as a person. They don't like his persona, personality, whatever.
I don't think
want,
anyone well. Does.
No, they don't. And they, you know, he comes up with dopey stuff, and then he talks forever and says absolutely nothing.
My appreciation for the world goes deeper than I think a lot of people realize.
And I think we all realize that he was not a good mix as a personality with the other guys on this team. But
well, see,
I'd be concerned about him and Kevin Durant and a couple of those other guys on the Brooklyn Nets this year. There's a lot of talent on that team now.
Yeah, the thing that just bugs me is if like I almost feel like, one, I know why they did it. You know, the storyline is great, and I think the NBA considers the Celtics one of the better teams in the NBA. But the fact that they're gonna play in Boston and there's not gonna be any fans there. Maybe that's what Wick was talking about the other day. Maybe they're gonna be able to have by Christmas they can have 50% capacity.
Not in Massachusetts.
You're gonna need to. You know what you do? You only have 100 people there, but you find the loudest, most arrogant, obnoxious fans you can find, and you put them as close to his bench as possible because he needs to kind of live that. Too many passes.
I feel like Kyrie is kind of like the Houston Astros. You know what I mean? He's dodged a bullet a couple times coming back, and this time he'll come back and there'll still be no fans.
But people
around here won't forget. I mean, it doesn't matter. If his first game at the Garden is 3 years from now, with his fans in the stands, they're going to boo his ass.
Yeah, like, exactly. I forget.
Eventually,
it doesn't matter. Eventually, he's going to play here in front of fans.
Yeah, they'll catch up to him. I'll say this. I would worry about him on December 25th because the one thing we just talked about him being a great player.
Yep.
He's one of those revenge guys, I think. He thinks he got the bad deal here in Boston. So
of course he does.
And he's going up against Jeff Teague unless they switch Marcus Smart on him for the whole game. And he might put some serious numbers up in this one.
Yeah. Well, that's what I would do. I mean, that's what I would do. I'm curious to know, back when he was here, I want to say I know he definitely didn't get along with Jaylen Brown. Like the Jaylen Brown-Kyrie Irving relationship, I think there was a huge gap in that. Because Jaylen Brown, I think what Kyrie Irving realized is that Jaylen Brown, as young as he was smarter than him, was smarter and didn't buy into his bull crap. Like, I bet you Kyrie Irving thought that he would come in with a bunch of young players and he was going to be able to kind of wow him to death.
He was going
to
be
say,
the daddy.
Say a bunch of nonsense that had no substance whatsoever.
The most humane things that make us human, we lose track of sometimes.
I mean, I think basketball wise.
No, basketball wise, sure.
Yeah.
But there's this whole thing like LeBron was a mentor to me. He wanted to be that guy to Jaylen Brown, but Jaylen Brown was way too smart for him.
He was a mentor to Tatum, though. He was a mentor to Tatum.
No, not to call Tatum dumb, but I think he was more willing. with the nonsense that came out of Kyrie Irving.
He was dealing with him last year in the playoffs.
When it came to basketball, sure. You know, there's a lot of knowledge there you could pass on to the younger guys. But you're right. I could just see Kyrie Irving sitting in the locker room or on a plane, wherever it might be, and quoting some philosopher or something, Jalen sort of spinning his head going, that wasn't him. That was so-and-so.
And Kyrie's that's what I think it was.
He's reading quotes, and Jaylen Brown spins his head around again and is like, that wasn't the quote. Yeah. The quote is actually this, and it's from the Bible.
Or he took it out of context.
You know?
I think he's one of those guys that he sounds like an authoritarian, except when you actually hear the words, you sit there and say, what did he just say?
Well, that's my point.
Making no sense.
That's my point. So a guy like – so now we know Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is advanced. Yeah, I don't know if you guys read that article in GQ. The guy has definitely got his you-know-what together. And Marcus Smart, I think, is another one of those guys that didn't really appreciate him. I think Jason Tatum may be the only one because maybe he's a little bit more affected and kind of, like Kyrie than Jaylen Brown is. I think that's a – if you want to go back and trace the issues, I think that was definitely one of them. Because even remember, even when Kyrie Irving was talking publicly about leaders and this, and Jaylen Brown took it upon himself to respond – didn't name him call his name out, openly, but you knew who he was talking about.
Starts at the top down. Yes, not the bottom up or whatever. Yep. It was. Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that that's the opponent on Christmas Day, because Christmas Day is a day for hate and where you can really lash out at enemies. I thought it was. Maybe I'm missing the holidays, but it's going to give Celtic fans an opportunity to despise the opponent.
Well, by 5 o'clock, you're looking for some hate. There's a lot of love. Before that, Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, midday, or late morning. By about 5 o'clock Christmas Day, you want to kind of get back in there.
All right, so ESPN has put together their preview with the wins. And I'll give it to you quickly. Yep. Milwaukee, 72-game season this year, fellas. 72-game season. They have average wins, and it's one of those analytic things where they break it down. It's 44.5 wins for the Milwaukee Bucks, number one in the East. Toronto, number two at 43.7. Miami, third, 39.9. Philadelphia, fourth, 39.4. Boston Celtics, fifth seed at 39.3, but there's an update underneath it. It does not include the news about Kemba Walker, so they are going to update it and redo. They have to factor in the simulations, and they're going to do it. And they say Boston's playoff probability will drop when that's done. So they'll probably drop below Brooklyn, number six at 38.9. Indiana, seventh at 38.9. I guess they're tied. Atlanta, eighth. At 36.
Yes, I don't know how they're better than Brooklyn. We'll see. But I think that's kind of where they're going to be, though.
Well, Brooklyn's got a formulated team. I think they've got plenty
because
of talent.
Because Kyrie plays for them.
I understand that, but I just think, so don't you, by the way. You know what I mean? You don't have Kemba Walker for a long time, and you've got Jalen, you got Tatum, and you got Smart.
Peyton Pritchard.
But I'm just saying, other than that, you kind of got a formulated team, don't you? Jeff Teague's in the mix. Tristan Thompson's in the mix. I could see them in that 5-6 seed range, possibly 7. That's kind of where they are. That's about right.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me once again if they overachieve and then people get all excited in the playoffs and think they're going to the NBA
finals. 39-33. If they make the adjustment, are they saying they're basically almost a 500 team?
It'll be interesting to see when it comes in.
37-35?
They have to go through 70 two-game simulation to be able to do this stuff. Mm. That's what they have to do.
Wow.
All right, we'll get to the phone calls and let some people squawk about it at 617-779-7937. We've talked a lot about Matt Patricia this past week, but this one we have to get to. Is he the dumbest person alive? Or is there somebody out there that is just brilliant and is playing this role and destroying Matt Patricia's reputation? All coming up next right here on OMF.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On Twitter, at Glenn D. Ordway.
Who doesn't like fun?
Back to OMF.
On WEEI.
You know, let's separate personalities here. Matt, as a person, you know, is a good guy. Bob Quinn, as a person, is a really good guy. You know, I never thought Matt would be a very good head coach. I think I'm documented in saying that because I think Matt wanted to be Bill Jr. And Matt never gave any authentic coaching to what he was believing in. And as to evaluate coaches, to really truly understand the genius of Belichick or the greatness of Pete Carroll or Sean Payton, whenever their side of expertise falls apart, it usually gets fixed. You know, Matt's defense could never get him. It never was good. In Detroit, it never was good. He wanted big guys because he thinks that's what Bill wants. He wanted slow. He wanted guys that played in the Patriots system.
Matt Patricia, basically what Lombardi is telling you is, you know, he was just feeding off of the Belichick tree, mm-hmm. but really wasn't providing an awful lot of fruit. And you could see that. And he was there for 3 years. He got the gig probably because he worked for Bill Belichick. So he's come under scrutiny this week because apparently there is a Twitter account out there, Eddie P. Lions Fan. And Eddie P. Lions Fan only tweets stuff that is really positive about Matt Patricia. And so what a couple of websites have done is they've kind of gone into the history of it. Eddie P. Lions Fan only follows present and former Lions players, present and former Patriot players, and OER Barstool Sports. So a lot of people think that this is a burner account set up by Matt Patricia. I think this is some really clever guy who's put all of this together. He's throwing in, he's married with three kids. Eddie Edward is Matt Patricia's middle name. He's taken some background for Matt Patricia, put it all together. The Barstool Sports gives it away because everybody knows he wore the shirt that time with Goodell with the clown nose. To me, this is just the setup. This is not Matt Patricia, right?
Well, listen, I don't know if it's not or not. It's not like we haven't seen this before. You mentioned, I mean, Eddie P., it's funny. I'm reading
Kevin
some of
Durant
these things.
Did this
someone,
before.
Somebody tweeted, no one's going to miss Patricia. Players aren't going to miss him at all. And Eddie P., the Lion fan, tweets at him, the only awful thing was Coach Patricia hitching his wagon to the organization like the Lions. Right. He says, the so-called Lions fans think they're going to get better without Patricia. Little do they know that the issue was Bob Quinn. Coach Patricia could only do so much. And then we were talking about Darius Slay, how he got burnt the other night by Metcalf.
Right.
And Eddie
failed
P.
to tackle
responds,
Metcalf, right.
Eddie P. responds, surprise, Coach Patricia was right. If the Lions organization players listened to him, then everything would have been different. He went on and ripped Stafford, too, and said they should get rid of him because he's uncoachable. So it's like, would you be
Stop
shocked if this is really Matt Patricia?
I would one listen, day. Listen, I think you can question him as a defensive coordinator. And remember, Brian Flores came in a year later after Matt Patricia, and the players, especially the linebackers, were raving at how now the process was so much simpler than
right.
it was before. So you can
no,
question that.
He's not a rocket scientist.
He's no rocket scientist. He is a rocket scientist. But I can't believe he's that dumb, though he did wear, coming off of a plane, that Goodell shirt, which was pretty stupid on his part, to do it at that juncture.
By the way, Eddie P's bio said he was married with three kids.
Right.
Which is what Patricia is married, and he's got
yeah,
three
but,
kids.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Really, how hard is that
yeah,
to
it's
do?
Easy.
I mean,
it's easy.
Anyway, it's in his bio for the Lions. It's in his bio for the Patriots. You can learn. It's in Wikipedia.
You, so you don't think it's him either?
No, I think it might be our guy Jake in Boston did this. I mean, mm-hmm. we have callers all the time who know all of this stuff.
I say it's done by a guy that hates Matt.
Yes, that's
that
what I think it is.
Wants people to think that
Bingo.
It's Matt. So they go ahead and go, oh, look,
ooh,
look how pathetic
sleuth.
Matt Patricia is. You know, he's so pathetic. He's so dumb. He created a burner account, and everybody knows it's him. That's what I think
I think that's what's going on. I think you've got a lot of these young, clever people who really are astute when it comes to social media, and they are playing a game out there with
yeah.
Matt Patricia. That's
totally
what I
agree.
Think is going on. And it's embarrassing, though, really, that you get Deadspin and others that are sitting there going, oh, this is a burner account. Well, you better have a little bit more evidence than what you're throwing out there.
Well, I would
right
say
now.
With everything that's happened, this is probably the least embarrassing thing. I mean, really. I mean, he went there. It was an absolute train wreck. Lombardi's absolutely right. I don't know if Lombardi's patting himself on the back. Did he call this before Matt took a game, like before he coached a single game, or is this an observation? because I think this is a good observation. Like, we were laughing at the Detroit press and, like, the players, right? Because it was, like, the first camp. If they made a mistake, they were making him. He was running laps. And I didn't have a problem with that, right? They made a mistake in practice. Okay, I got some kind of accountability. It's really not that bad. Go give me one lap. But he continued to try to be Bill. You know, and he got absolutely no love from the media because as a first-year coach, he's treating the media like Bill treats the media.
Can't do that.
Without the clout.
Yeah, he had no resume.
Like, you know, right. we know what Bill is like. I don't enjoy it. But, you know, imagine if he came in year one, he was doing that to you, how you'd feel about him?
Yeah.
With no track record whatsoever?
I can tell you.
And took a 9-7 team and turned him into this?
No. Bill early on took a lot of heat in this town, if you guys remember it. And guys that, you know, like Kevin Mannix and others who weren't really guys that, you know, were really aggressive in destroying
I don't even
people.
Remember those days.
Oh,
I have
bad.
No clue what he was like with the media back then. I was just playing, and I wasn't listening to Bill Belichick's pressers.
Yeah.
So I don't even know.
I mean, the thing is that, you know, of all the ex-coaches that have gone on to become head coaches, either in college or the pros, he was the least ready. He was the least, the worst equipped to deal with this, to deal with being himself. And I don't know if you can even blame him, because this is all he knows. Like, he's different than Bill O'Brien, who played for multiple coaches, you know, in college and in the pros. He's different than Dean Pease, you know. And I would say the outlier in this situation, and I would say he's different than Charlie Weiss, because Charlie Weiss was brought up under Bill Parcells, not Bill Belichick.
Mangini had problems out of here.
Mangini had problems also. The outlier is Brian Flores.
I was going
to
say,
there's the guy that's the outlier.
Yeah,
He's the guy that makes Patricia look real bad, right?
Yeah.
Because
not
only did he come in the year after, and Glenn, you pointed out already, defensive players are talking about how simple this was and how they could just go out and play and react and they weren't thinking as much. That was a shot, I believe, to Patricia. And then so he's probably the best coach coming off this Belichick tree. He's probably the guy. And he hasn't really won anything. But I think you like what he's obviously done there in 2 years in Miami, the way that thing started, the way it's been. I bet you if you look at, you know, if you take away the first half of last season, you look at the way his team has played, I mean, that's the guy, you know. But that's a guy that's just true to himself. Like, this is who he was, right? Everybody you talk to when he was in New England, like, he's the same guy. He didn't try to be somebody else. Because he didn't need to be.
Well, here's the other
personality.
Problem. Yeah, here's the other problem that Matt Patricia had is that he followed Jim Caldwell, who I don't think has ever spoken a word in public. I don't think he's ever spoken.
Never spoke a word in a game.
Never.
His mouth never moved.
So, and now he's being praised by people in Detroit because I think he left the team at 9-7, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Last year.
They were like a 9-7 football team. They couldn't win big games, but they were always like 9-7 in that range.
Right. They had a quarterback that couldn't win out on the road that put up a zillion yards out there. I will tell you this. I would not be surprised at all if Matt Patricia ends up back here. Now, I thought it was very interesting the other day, and we talked a little bit about it. Bill Belichick, for the first time, acknowledged Steve Belichick is the guy who is making the calls on the defensive side of the ball. We had him on a Monday, and he talked about that defensive coaching staff.
Luckily, as a staff, you know, I think our defensive coaches really work well together. They all have a lot of responsibility. They all have a lot of input. They've done a good job, you know, since Matt left. I mean, it's certainly in 18 and, you know, 19. You know, this year has been some challenges, but I think from a coaching standpoint, I think the defensive coaches have done a good job. You know, Steve has a, you know, significant role, but, you know, so did DeMarcus and Gerard, Mike, Brian, Vinny. You know, it's a good group. Very fortunate to work with those guys. They do a good job.
Why do you think he mentioned Steve for the first time? This week, in a week in which Matt Patricia was fired.
Well, that's why. Patricia was fired, was it Friday or Saturday after Thanksgiving?
It was the next game, next day after the game.
Right away, Patricia gets fired, and Bill obviously gets the news of it, and he comes out after the game for the first time, praises Steve.
Yep.
You know, how he really made some great calls and put us in good spots. And I think that was part of it. I don't know if it was just to shut up the rumors that were going to be started or the next question, because we saw this with Josh McDaniels. You know, Josh McDaniels down there in Denver, it failed. Billy O was here. Word was he was going to get a new job somewhere, end up going to Houston, being the coach there. So in the meantime, he brought Josh back to kind of be the assistant just to slide into that role. And I think he was getting ahead of it, given the timing of the Patricia firing. That's why for the first time he mentioned Steve Belichick. Right.
So yes, I think he does everything by design. We know that. I think Bill's well aware that after he gets fired, it's going to happen. I even threw it out to him in the question I asked him, because we know how this works. And I think he is deflecting here. And what he's basically telling you is, Steve's going nowhere. I love the people that I'm working with right now. But he didn't dismiss the fact that Patricia might come back in some role. He never got there.
Well, I mean, listen, I think if anyone is going to come back, the two guys, so you look at Josh McDaniels, he came back. He's one of those guys that were like basically just indoctrinated and just, you know, raised in this system from, you know, a peon to an offensive coordinator to a head coach to a offensive coordinator again to a quality control type guy back to an offensive coordinator with no title back to an offensive coordinator. So this is a guy that, you know, listen, he's loyal. The guys that are loyal and the guys that have paid their dues and they don't know anything else, they want to come back. I mean, you could sit there and you can look at, you know, you talk about Brian Flores, how he basically earned the trust and respect of his team much quicker than Matt Patricia ever did. And I would even say Brian Flores had some issues early on when he was calling out guys just like Eric Mangini, Josh McDaniels, but he ended up cutting all of them.
Yeah, he had younger players too, and they traded away, remember.
But then the Black Lives Matter situation happens, and then he comes out as just a really just, I don't know, a rock star when it comes to dialogue, talking to his players, understanding their situation. And I feel like they trusted him even more. Mm-hmm. So, and he's got all this draft capital, so he's going to end up building a good team. But with Matt, I mean, like we had Tommy Kern on last week, and you heard Michael Lombardi talking about Matt Patricia, how he didn't think he was ever going to be a good coach. It was funny because when we had Tommy Kern on, he basically broke it down based on how underwhelming he was compared to Brian Flores.
I don't think that his record here in New England and his resume really made him anything resembling head coaching timber. Right place, right time. 2014, that's absolutely stacked defense that performed really well, and they played great. But I think that as you looked at 2017, throughout that year, to see that team, and also in 2016, you know, that 2016 team had to move on from Jamie Collins at linebacker, who in 2015 really cost them the AFC Championship game in Denver by biting twice when he should have been covering Owen Daniels. Then by 2016, he's out of the system, can't play for you anymore. So that's not really player development. Remember Jabal Sheard, too, in 2016. They had to bench him. Couldn't develop with Matt Patricia running the defense. And, yeah, they had some really good games, but that's Bill Belichick's defense.
Yeah, I think his reputation has been dented here, certainly as a head coach. I don't think that opportunity is going to come here real soon.
You know what he was? He was just next in line, and Curran hit on it. It was just next in line. It was like you had been here long enough. You had paid your dues. You had shown you could win Super Bowls. Okay, but you had the defensive coordinator title. Brian Flores didn't have the defensive coordinator title. So Brian Flores, who was there forever, was there when I was there, becomes the defensive coordinator by default, never gets the title, is there 1 year, then runs off and becomes a head coach. You can actually say that he did a better job in his Super Bowl appearance than Matt did. Because no Matt, question. When he was a defense coordinator against Philly, I mean, they couldn't stop him.
No,
Brian Flores against the Rams, nothing.
That Rams Super Bowl was kind of what we kind of expect sometimes from the Patriots defenses, right? Like in big games, coming up in big moments, you're right. Patricia's defenses, I don't know. Even the Atlanta Super Bowl, what the hell happened in the first half, right? So a lot of it, I noticed such a difference when he left and Flores came in. I think it was just clear cut. I mean, just clear.
I think it's a communication thing.
Yeah. Players openly were talking about it. Like not ripping Matt because they never would publicly, but what they said was basically ripping Matt, wasn't it? How much easier this is? How much better Brian Flores is?
Yeah. So I think
nobody talked about Patricia like that.
No, but that was the problem, I think. It's not that he doesn't understand defenses or understand what the hell he's doing. I think his communication skills are not real good, and they don't get through to players. I mean, the Flores thing, Flores got through to the players right away. Now, granted, he was here as a linebackers coach, and he moved up as defensive coordinator, but he was able to communicate, and even after the rough start you were talking about, Christian, down there in Miami, he's able to communicate with the players. Now, they weeded a few guys out, some veteran players out, and made some good trades that got them first-round draft picks, but I think he's a terrific communicator. That's what Belichick is, contrary to what the media also thinks. He's a great communicator with the players.
I think players can sniff out a fraud in a second.
Well, that's part of the communication part of it.
I think they knew that when Matt rolled in, he had some. They go back into his past and they talk about this issue he had in Mexico, and you know, he's got to right off the bat. He's got to be defensive. He's got his guard up, and he's challenging people like right off the bat. And then as the seasons progress, he just becomes kind of dinkish. And I know him personally, so I was like, oh, Matt's not Matt. And then sure enough, Kern again was sitting here breaking it down over and over again how many times he was just kind of a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And
his bedside manner was really great. I'll send you a story where I talked to him on a conference call and he spoke in circles and I finally said, you're not answering the question. You have to answer the question. And he got very defensive about that. There was another occasion where we were at training camp. And basically, whatever Bill wanted him to do, he would do, but to the nth degree. We were at training camp talking on the sidelines because we had access to the assistant coaches. And he had a hat on, and he pulled it down over his eyes and stared at the ground the entire time he was talking to us. And he was just muttering and looking down. And I finally kind of crouched down, and I looked up at him. And I said, you're going to do this the whole time, huh?
His point was like he didn't want to get fired. He didn't want to do anything. He wasn't going to step out of line at all. He wasn't even going to flirt with it. So he never developed his own personality.
Yeah, that's
so when he left, he just brought what he knew.
Yeah.
Which was Bill, which never works.
It's a good way of putting it. Great bedside manner. It really is a good way of putting it. It really is. I think he's probably, it would not surprise me at all, guys, if he comes back in some capacity. Belichick does have a personal relationship with him.
How do you bring him back, though, and just give him like a group?
Well,
like, how do you bring him back as like the linebackers coach while Steve's still the defensive coordinator?
So what he does is he brings him back in some way as a consultant. He's done this with other people in the past. Just so that he can resurface again somewhere, because I think he's going to have trouble resurfacing. Now, it's the NFL, so who the hell knows? But I do believe that a lot of this of hiring the Belichick tree comes from owners. I really think owners are the ones that do an awful lot of this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you have a general manager who, like what we were just talking about with Matt Patricia, doesn't have the balls to stand up to the owner and basically say, this is the dumbest thing we could possibly do. You're not getting Bill Belichick.
Who's the GM out in Detroit? Is it Quinn?
Quinn.
It was Quinn, yeah.
He liked Matt Patricia.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that,
well,
that
he
was
had experience with him in the past. Also.
And then we were talking about after year one, saying, oh my God, this isn't going to work. You know, after year two, this isn't going to work. And we're going to say, well, you know, the GM loves the guy. So what's he going to do, fire him? He's the one that brought him in after a year or two.
Yeah, and it cost him his job.
And it cost him his job, right? Like, okay, you don't want to fire your boy, we'll get rid of you then.
Yeah,
he might have been able to keep his job if he just ended that friendship and moved on to somebody else.
It's amazing because in Detroit, they're thirsting for Jim Caldwell. Can we bring Jim Caldwell back? And I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, hey, Jim Caldwell should be the next coach of that team. He's a great coach. All right, we'll get to your phone calls. We see you there at 617-779-7937. And we'll get into more of what's going on with Tom and Bruce, the life in Tampa Bay, all of that and more. And Brewski at 4:30.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.